God, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Carl?
Thanks, brother. Thank you, man. Well, good evening.
Good evening.
All right. Reasons for hope, you know what the reason is? It's Jesus, and that's what I'm going to try and bring glory and honor to tonight. Now, tonight is kind of it's a fun session. I'm going to tell you right up front, I am going to employ sarcasm. This isn't mean-spirited, all right? As I shared with you last night, Jesus Christ died for every person on this planet. I'm not mocking and ridiculing. But sometimes when we look at the actual evidence, I think we're so afraid. And I don't understand why now, after I've been doing some digging. So I am going to take some jabs. So be prepared. I call this fossil friendrophobia because if you think about it, if evolution is true, the fossil record should be like the worst nightmare of a Christian. When anybody talks about fossils, we should almost be like, no, we don't really want to talk about that. Let's forget about that. That's not important. That's a side issue. God loves you, has a wonderful plan for your life. But if God's word is true, the fossil record should be like our best friend. Does that make sense? It should be our best friend. So it's either our friend or our foe. So what is it? But before we get into it, everybody's got commercials. I got my commercials.
Hello, I'm creation.
And I am the theory of evolution.
You know, why is that?
Why is what?
That you're a theory.
Well, because I sort of kind of haven't been proven at all yet.
Well, what do you mean yet?
Well, there's a lot of scientists still trying to prove anything about me.
Oh, how's that coming?
Yeah, not so good.
Not so good?
No.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Oh, it's okay. What about you?
What, proof?
Well, yeah, why aren't you a theory?
Well, because every design has a designer.
Ah, but what if that design is random?
That's not possible.
It has to be.
Why? Hey, look, it's the missing link.
What?
You're just sorry. Now that's random.
Forgive me, my PC brethren. I am a Mac guy. I want you to imagine that we're back in the day and we're getting ready to go into battle and we walk out onto the battlefield and the enemy looks at us and he says, hey, before we begin this battle, throw down your sword. What would you call the person that says, okay? Now we're in church, so we can't call him some of those things, but there's a few things we could call him. One of them is, that boy's dead. He's dead. That boy is dead. You're going to go into battle unarmed? You're dead. Christian, for too long, we in the church have allowed the world to dictate the rules. We go out and we start talking to people and, hey, let's talk about astronomy, biology, geology, anthropology, chemistry. And the world comes at us and says, if you want to talk about those things, that's fine, but I don't want to hear any of that Bible stuff, so don't bring that Bible stuff into this discussion. And for too long, Christians have been saying, okay. Well, guess what? When I read in the scripture, I read very clearly that you got your breastplate, you got your helmet, you got your shields, but there's only one thing that's an offensive weapon. What is it? What's the sword? The Word of God. And way too many times we're willing to say, oh, okay, I won't use the Bible. And when we do that, guess what? We're dead. How many churches are across the nation of America? Over 400,000 churches, 6,000 first-run theaters. Where are we? We're dead. And I think it's because we've opted out of using the Word of God as our authority. We've allowed it to get relegated to fairy tale and fable status. It is not fairy tale. It is not fable. When you start with it as the Word of God is real history, what we see in the world, we have to ask ourselves, is it consistent with or does it contradict what I see in the world around me? Does it contradict the Word of God? So, you know, why do we need science? Because Bible's very clear. So then faith cometh by hearing and hearing by science, proving that God's Word is true. That's why we need science. We need science to give us a backbone. Where's my Bereans? I should see some stuff flying this direction here. At least some verbal, hey, hey, hey. Oh, thank you very much. So this faith cometh by scientists proving that God's word is true. Is that what the word of God says? That's not what it says at all. What does it come by? Faith cometh by the word of God. This is our authority. This is our standard. Do not let the world dictate the rules, because when they do, we fall prey to the lie. Guys, this is the problem is not the facts. You see, way too many of us think that the problem are in the facts and the evidence. Facts aren't the problem. Evidence isn't the problem. The problem is this. Our worldview, praise God, y'all have a worldview class here in this church. If you don't have a class, Go to the worldview class, because as I told one young man last night, that is the absolute starting point. You have to start with that worldview issue, because what you believe about the past will determine where you end up in the future. Worldview is the key to understanding why Christians and non-Christians can have the exact same evidence to come to two totally different conclusions. It's not the evidence. Evidence isn't the problem at all, because we all have the exact same facts. Think about this for a second. Christians and non-Christians, don't we have the same stars? Christians and non-Christians, don't we have the same geologic layers? Christians and non-Christians, don't we have the same people groups? Then why do we understand them so differently? Is it because of the evidence? No. It's nothing to do with the evidence. It has everything to do with the interpretation of evidence, and worldview, bias, presupposition, axiom, you call it what you want, impacts the way that you explain the evidence. You see, your perspective will impact the interpretation. Can I give you a real world example? Yes, I can. Thanks for asking. Now, I want you to explain to me, there are no magnets involved in this, how in the world do they get these balls to roll uphill? There's no magnets. How do they get it to do it? Well, you always need to question the question. Excuse me, did they really get the balls to roll uphill? Now, I didn't use reverse photography on you. What did I do? Let me change your perspective. Okay? Watch this. I'm not going to change the evidence. I'm going to change your perspective. Did they get the balls to roll uphill? No, they didn't. The balls rolled downhill, but when you look at it from a certain perspective, it absolutely looks like they rolled uphill. Guys, this is what I want to submit to you. This is what goes on in our world today. You go into a museum, you go into a zoo, you go into an aquarium, you go in there and you start looking at things. They have given you an interpretation from a certain perspective. And what we need to be able to do as Christians is walk in and say, okay, I understand why they see it the way that they do, but here's what the Word of God says. We know somebody who's always been there. He told us what happened. When I look at the evidence through his worldview, through his perspective, you better believe you're going to come to a totally different conclusion. You see, the facts aren't the problem. The facts are absolutely the same. It's the worldview bias presupposition. I'm going to admit to you that I am 100% biased. No, I'm 1,000% biased. I am absolutely biased. And my worldview absolutely impacts the interpretation that I'm going to give to you tonight. My interpretation is this. It's based on the fact that God's Word is true from the beginning. I admit it. I'm not ashamed of it. But you see, the greatest thing about being a Christian is that God told me that His Word is true. I can trust it. So when I look at the evidence in the world around me, what I see in the world, it should be consistent with what I read in the Word of God. It's only when I start chasing after man's opinion that I should start ending up chasing after fairy tales and fables. Now I want you to think about this for a second. The world loves to accuse us Christians of believing in fairy tales. You guys believe in those fairy tales and fables. Well, guess what? You want to hear the biggest fairy tale in our world today? Given enough time, right circumstances, everything and everything that we cannot see and everything that we can see goes back to something that was smaller than the size of a pinhead. And it exploded somehow, and then it formed everything that we see and can't see. That hydrogen gas, given enough time, right circumstances, can form a star. Do you know how many stars there are in the sky? Let me give you a simple illustration, because I love simple stuff. Imagine that you got a grain of sand. Everybody roll your grain of sand around. Get your grain of sand. Get your grain of sand. You got it? I'll be gone shortly. Come on, play along. Got your grain of sand? Hold your grain of sand out at arm's length. Use your imagination. How much outer space would that single grain of sand cover up? You got that picture in your mind? You can put your arms down. NASA took a picture of that much outer space. A single grain of sand held at arm's length. And you know what they found underneath the grain of sand? How many stars? 1,500. You're not impressed. You shouldn't be impressed. You know why? Because it's not 1,500 stars that they found underneath a grain of sand. It's 1,500 galaxies. And a galaxy is a minimum of 1,000,000 stars and can be as high as 200 to 400 million stars. 1,500 under a grain of sand held at arm's length, and you think hydrogen gas just balled itself together? Those are just the ones we can see. Okay? You know how many stars are inside the cup of the Big Dipper? Anybody ever see the Big Dipper? Anybody? 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 You've seen the Big Dipper. Do you know how many stars are in the cup of the Big Dipper? A lot. 1 billion. you're not impressed. You shouldn't be impressed. Because it's not a billion stars, it's a billion galaxies. In the cup of the Big Dipper. Guys, the heavens declare the glory of God. And we've allowed the world to dupe us into thinking that it's just a big bang given enough time, right circumstances. That's how we got all that stuff. That's one of the greatest fairy tales in the world. And we let them teach it to our children day in and day out and don't even question it. You see, we need to start looking at the actual evidence. When you start looking at the actual evidence, you will not be afraid anymore. What we see in the world, is it consistent with or does it contradict the Word of God? Don't trust me. I'm a Christian. You go to the museums for yourself. You start looking for yourself. And I'm going to tell you, I carry a camera. A video camera everywhere that I go. And I've yet to find evidence for evolution in the bones, in the actual evidence. You know where I always find it? In the artwork, in the interpretation, in the really cool label underneath of the bone telling me what the bone was doing. Excuse me, you got a bone. How do you know what the bone was doing? We need to start questioning the people that are giving us these interpretations. Here's how it works. You find a pile of bones, you give it to a really good artist. The better the artist, the better the picture. The better the picture, the more convincing the story. Don't trust me. You go to the museums for yourself. I have yet to find evidence in the bones. I always find it in the artwork. Well, guess what impacts artwork? Artwork is going to be impacted by worldview, bias, presupposition. And I want to show that to you tonight. Let me give you a non-Christian quote. The vast majority of artists are involved with this stuff. Conceptions are based more on imagination. Artist, imagination. That's how we get these drawings and pictures in the museums. Artist must create something between an ape and a human being. The older the specimen is said to be, the more ape-like they make it. So artist and guys, that's worldview bias presupposition. That's not actual evidence. You see, when artists are creating things, what's going to impact what they create? Worldview bias presupposition. So, I want to give you a tool. This is a great tool. The next time, you note takers, get ready. Here we go. The next time you watch a television program, you watch a movie, you pick up a book, a magazine, and you read the headlines, evolution's a fact. Here it is. We got the evidence. This proves that evolution is a fact. Here's your tool. You ready? You got your notes? Got your pen? You ready? There we go. The next time you see this great artwork proven evolution, you immediately think of Wendy's. You think I'm a nut. That's besides the point. Mature folks, this younger generation sitting over there is like, dude, I don't get it. All right? So we got to help them out. Mature folks, help me out here. They don't get it. Let me see. When you think of Wendy's, you ask a simple question. What's the question? Thank you very much. Young people, you're still sitting over there saying, I don't get it. You've missed out on a very important part of American history, okay? Go to YouTube, type in Wendy's, and you know what I just saw last night? A commercial with Wendy's, and they're doing the Where's the Beef again. I'm like, yes! We're bringing it back! But you go back and watch the old ones. They were really good. You got Clara there? Clara would walk in, where's the beef? It was an awesome question, okay? And I think it's one that we need to be asking. Where's the beef? Where's the evidence? Don't give me the reconstructions. Don't give me the fluff. Don't give me all that stuff. I want to see the actual evidence. That's what we need to be. Bereans, am I right? We need to start taking a look at this stuff because most of us have fallen to this line here that, oh, the fossils prove evolution. Everybody knows that. Really? Really? You need to look at the evidence for yourself because then you're going to speak boldly on it. If you take something from me and just go out and regurgitate it, it's no good. And parents, hear me on this. We have adopted the world's way of educating for too long now. We do what the world does. The world gives us information. We memorize. We test on memorization. We test on how well they regurgitate. Regurgitation isn't pretty. It doesn't look good. It's not the way that we should educate. We need to teach critical thinking. And here we go. Here, let me give you a non-Christian quote. Everybody knows fossils are fickle. Bones will sing any song you want to hear. Well, that's an interesting quote. What's that mean? That means if you find a single bone, you give it to 5 different scientists, depending on what their worldview bias presupposition is, they will look at that exact same evidence and come to 5 totally different conclusions. Can I give you real-world examples? Yes, I can. Thanks for asking. Here's an actual headline. I didn't make this up. This is their headline. Bigger brains in human ancestors. We are in trouble. They got us now, man. They have found the actual evidence to prove that our ancestor had bigger brains. I mean, take a look. Researchers discover a 1.2 million year old female. Now, hold up. We need critical thinkers here. Critical thinkers, the next time you see some great evidence, proven evolution, you immediately think of? No. You're doing it out of sequence. If you don't do it in sequence, it just falls apart. You got to do it in the right sequence. You immediately think of Wendy's, then you ask a question. Where's the beef? What? Now, let me help. Let me ask something here. What evidence should they find to prove that our ancestor had bigger brains? Please, anybody? A skull. Yeah. So the question, therefore, is what did they find to prove that our ancestor had bigger brains? You ready? Researchers discover 1.2 million year old female pelvis. I'm in trouble. But I'm leaving tonight, so help me, please. I mean, honestly, how can you tell brain size from behind size? I mean, help me out here. I mean, seriously, you find a pelvis so you can tell me that this thing had a bigger brain? Gentlemen, don't try this. You're walking down the street, look at the brain on that woman. It's not going to work. You just leave it alone. Don't go there. You can tell me brain size from behind size, guys. Don't stop at the headlines. The headlines can be scary. You need to read the actual article. When you get into the actual article, take a look at what you find. Suggest, story of evolution, suggesting, believed, postulated, hypothesized, believed. Are you catching those caveats? Evolution's a fact, you fundamentalist hicks. Give it up and go home. Then how come you need assumption, theorized, believed, postulated? Because it's not a fact. Here's another example. This is from Discover Magazine. They found a pile of bones. They took this pile of bones, they gave it to five different scientists. The first scientist said, well, looky here, we got ourselves a bird. The next scientist looked at it and said, well, this is a transitional form between the dinosaurs and the birds. Parents, you have got to talk to your children about this one because that one is getting jammed down their throats. That the dinosaurs evolved into the birds? Really? Help me. A scale, which is a fold in the skin, all right? Reptiles have scales. A scale, a fold in the skin over millions of years, gets roughed up to turn into a feather. I went too quickly, didn't I? Forgive me. Gentlemen, you get shaving bumps? You know what I'm talking about? Shaving bumps are no good. How would you like to be a chicken with an ingrown feather? Wouldn't be good, would it? Think about this for a second. What is a scale, a fold in the skin? A feather grows out of the body. It's like more like a hair. It's a complex structure that grows out of the body. How does it not get impacted underneath the skin level because the feather's opening up under the skin? It's an amazing stroke of luck. Over millions of years, that roughed up scale developed a shell around the feather. And the shell grows with the feather. But we got a big problem. Because if the shell grows with the feather, well, the feather can never open up. You can't fly with porcupine quills, can you? You've got to get rid of the shell. How do you get rid of the shell? Good question. Amazing stroke of luck. Over millions of years, an enzyme started getting produced at the skin level to eat the shell so the feather can come up and open up, and that came from a fold in the skin. Parents, you need to talk to your children about this one because the world is jamming it down their throats. Avian lung, reptilian lung, totally different. Avian heart, reptilian heart, totally different. There is nothing similar between the two. Nothing. But we let them jam it down our children's throats, and they don't know how to deal with it. The next three scientists looked at that exact same evidence and said, well, that's just a reptile. Do we have a problem with the beef? No. It's just a pile of bones. Where do we have the problem? With the interpretation of the evidence. Here's another one, another real-world example. Earth Magazine, not a Christian publication. I don't use creationist materials at all. I don't use Christian materials. Earth Magazine found what they called the ultimate missing link. Oh, what are we going to do? They have the actual evidence that a worm grew legs. We're in trouble. And take a look. There it is. The next time you see some great artwork proving evolution, you immediately think of, I got to see if I've indoctrinated you. I admit it. I'm trying. The world's doing it. They're just not telling you. I'm admitting it. Where's the beef? What evidence did they find? Cool artwork, but I want to see what you actually found. Well, come with me to Chicago Field Museum, and there it is. They have video. We are so fortunate. Adam was scuba diving back in the day, and he just happened to have his camera with him. It's cool video. It's cool picture, but what is the actual evidence to prove that worms grew legs? Here we go. Stick with me. The paleontologist portrait. Portrait, what's that? Artwork. What impacts artwork? Worldview bias presupposition. Shows a rounded worm that was symmetrical from side to side and had something like a head. This worm contained three tissue layers, the ectoderm, mesoderm, and endoderm, wrapping around the gut cavity. Now, this is going to be a good fossil. Man, we got a fossil that shows three tissue layers? Oh, I want to see this. It gets even better. We got even more. The body also may have, catching the caveats, housed a primitive heart, a blood and vascular system, and a cavity called a hemocele that could fill with blood to aid respiration and bolster the body. Wow. We've got a fossil showing three tissue layers, heart, blood, lungs. This is going to be good. Valentine thinks. So where's the beef? Where's the actual evidence proving that a worm grew legs? You ready? Here we go. Let me read it to you. Investigators have found fossil burrows, fecal pellets, and scratches left in sediment by the very beginning of limbs. There it is. We know a worm grew legs because we found what? We found fossil burrows, that's holes in a rock, fecal pellets, that's bumps on a rock, and scratches. From holes, bumps, and scratches on a rock, we know that a worm grew legs. Give it up and go home, you fundamentalist hicks. Really? You found holes, bumps, and scratches, and you know a worm grew legs? Remember that quote, everybody knows fossils are fickle, bones will sing any song you want to hear. Let me show you a rock that is singing an opera. Here it is. There's the actual evidence. There's the heart. There's the blood. There's the lung. There's the three tissue layers. You can't see it? Here, let me blow it up for you. See, there's the heart. There's the blood. There's the lung. There's the three tissue layers. This is a rock with holes, bumps, and scratches on it. And this proves that a worm grew legs. Give it up. Forgive me. I didn't read you the whole quote. I shouldn't have done that. I got to give you all the information. These aren't just your normal scratches. These marks look like they were made by what Valentine calls something that was smarter than your average flatworm. Can you help me? You know by now I need help. Okay, so help me out here. But seriously, how can you tell a dumb worm from a smart worm? Imagine, you got two living worms right here, right? Look at that boy, he's a genius. He's just dumber than dirt. And you know the IQ of a worm from scratches on a rock? I mean, if you found his hips, maybe I'd go along with you, but I don't. But Carl, everybody knows. It takes millions of years to make a fossil. Everybody knows that. Really? Everybody knows it? Well, I think that we need to question. What does the fossil really show? I like this. Do you realize what we're looking at here, Yankovic? Conclusive evidence that the ancient hunter-gatherers hated the Barney creature as much as we do. No. But what should the fossil record show if evolution is true? Fossils provide the only historical documentary evidence that life has evolved. Give it up and go home, Carl. We've known since before you were born. The fossils prove evolution. What are you going to do? Well, you know what we're going to do? We're going to look at the actual evidence. These are called phylogenetic charts. These are the family trees that show how everything that we see on the planet goes back to a common ancestor, okay? So you start down here at the very bottom, and given enough time, right circumstances, everything that we see evolved. Wow, what are we going to do? They got us now. Seriously, okay. Here it is. Here's the chart that changed me from being a Christian who believed that God used evolution in millions of years. You think I'm telling you that you can't be a Christian if you believe in millions of years or that God directed or used evolution? I'm not saying that. I believed God used evolution. I believed in millions of years. That's all I'd ever heard. That's all I knew. But I was wrong. I was wrong, because it doesn't fit with what the Scripture teaches. I allowed man's wisdom to become my standard, and I want to challenge you. Don't trust me. Get into the Word of God to see if God's Word will back up what you think, and not science. Okay? This is the chart. You start down here with a couple of lizards, given enough time, right circumstances, all the dinosaurs evolved. Carl, how are you going to argue with that? You don't have a PhD. I don't. Man, I'm just lucky that I graduated high school. That's the honest truth. You know, you got PhDs, you got dummies. I'm down here with the dummies, man. I don't have a PhD. But you know what? I learned how to smell a fake and a fraud because of my background. And when your dad's a professional wrestler, you learn how to smell a fake and a fraud, okay? And there's a lot of fake stuff going on here. So, mature folks, you need to help this younger generation out again. Before you sign anything, what do you do? Read it. What do you especially read? Can you all read that fine print down there for me, please? Oh, you can't read it? Here, let me blow it up for you. Tinted areas indicate solid fossil evidence. Huh. What's that mean? The tinted areas are the red areas. The red areas are solid fossil evidence. Can I make it simple because I'm a simple man? Red is fact. If red is fact, what's the white? You call it what you like. You call it fairy tale fiction. You call it what you like. But red is what they actually found. What's the evidence for what's the actual solid fossil evidence show? Shows that an apatosaur was always an apatosaur. Ankylosaur was always ankylosaur. Pachycephalosaur was always pachycephalosaur. The actual evidence shows that one thing stayed one thing, never changed from or into anything else. Does that support evolution? Not at all. Not at all. Oh, here's another little key. You see that yellow band right down there? That, according to evolution, is 30 million years of time. Now, notice all of the white stuff in the 30 million years. Look at how fast things change. Change left, right, all over for 30 million years, and then for 70 million years, 80 million years, 150 total, sometimes 300 and 400 million years. Things don't change anymore because they said, that's it, I like the way I look. So they changed like crazy for 30 million years, and then for 400 million years don't change anymore? And you think we got a problem. You think we're chasing after fairy tales and fables. Christian, we got to wise up. We don't need to be afraid of this. Here's another little trick. Young people especially, you got to pay attention to this stuff because the world's coming at you with all kind of deception. You need to learn how to look at it from a different perspective. You see those dashed lines? Guess what the dashed lines mean? No evidence. Get rid of the dashed lines. What do the bold lines show? That one thing stayed, one thing never changed from or into anything else. How about this? Here's another little trick. You start over here, give it enough time, you get the fish, you get the people. Huh. You see the bold line? What's the bold line mean? Fact. What's the skinny line tying it all together mean? Fairy tale. You figure it out. Get rid of the skinny line. What's to show you that you don't want to hear this anymore, do you? One thing stayed, one thing never changed from or into anything else. Here's a good one. Here's a real good one. You start down here with a groundhog, and given enough time, right circumstances, over millions of years, you get the hippopotamus, you get the giraffe, and a cow. From a groundhog? And you think, we got problems? Guys, you got a zoo in your area? You got a zoo? Zoo? Anybody got a zoo? You got a zoo? The zoo should be like one of your most favorite mission trips going. Why can't you walk through the zoo with your children, teaching them how to apply their faith in that zoo, which is, by the way, your tax dollars are paying, and I guarantee you I could go through that zoo and I could pick it apart and show you the false teaching that they're putting in there. I take you through the Cincinnati Zoo, and it's blatant, blatant lies. Why can't you walk your children through there, give them real world evangelism? Here's what the world says. Here's what the Word of God says. Here's what we see in the world around us. Make an informed decision. It'll be your best friend, I'm telling you. When you start learning how to look at these things from a biblical perspective, you think a groundhog, over millions of years, can turn into a giraffe, 18-foot tall giraffe, 2.5-foot long heart, 3-inch thick muscle walls, one-way valves in the arteries that kick in to stop the flow of blood to the brain so they don't explode their brains when they bend over to get a drink. Guys, there is no explanation for that other than God did what he said that he did. And when you start pointing out those amazing design features, it becomes fun. It really does. Oh, but Carl, given enough time, right circumstances, we know that that rat turned into not just us, into every mammal on the planet, including the blue whale, a 2.5-inch long mouse named Morgie. I can show you her picture. I took it when I was at the Smithsonian. 2.5-inch long mouse named Morgie, blue whale. And you think we got a problem? Go to Disney. There it is. There's your evolutionary ancestor, the rat. Forget about the rat, though. You know what? Scientists figure something else out. Man descended from early aardvark. Yeah. Forget about the rat. We came from the aardvark. Every mammal, including man, is descended from a creature that was genetically similar to the modern aardvark scientists have found. So there it is. We come from the aardvark. By the way, watch this. Here's their chart showing that you start with a couple of rats. Given enough time, right circumstances, you get all the mammals. Anything look interesting to you? You see the dashed lines. By the way, look at the aardvark. You want evidence for creation? Poor boy, he just explodes on the scene. Hey, how you doing? I'm here. What's up? He's not even connected in with anything else. There's your evidence for creation using their own charts. Forget about the aardvark. Let's go back even further. When microbiologist Mitchell Sogan decided to trace human evolution to its roots, he had no idea he might find sponges. Yes, that's our evolutionary ancestor right there. Your grandmother, your grandfather, all rolled into one. Thank you very much. And gentlemen, one of the reasons that we have such a difficult time getting rid of athlete's foot is because it's a fungus. And from our fungus ancestry, when you're trying to kill the athlete's foot, you're trying to kill your ancestry. And so it's very difficult to get rid of it. I'm just saying, okay? I just read it. And by the way, they've done a lot of research and they've actually found one of the missing links to this. Got to tell you the whole story. Help me out. I don't know what to do with it, but maybe you do. All I know is this. When they told SpongeBob he was one of our evolutionary ancestors, it was way too much information for him. He just couldn't handle it. Couldn't handle it. But Carl, come on. Everybody knows. Everybody. How many, be honest. How many of you have seen pictures like this? We've all grown up with pictures like this. We've seen it in beer commercials. We've seen it in gum commercials. We've seen it in every milk commercials. It's everywhere. What's the truth behind it? You're going to have to wait for the second talk because I'm not going to talk about it till then. But here we go. Denver. Ooh, we're in trouble. There it is. A wolf that came from the rat to go back into the ocean to become the whale. They got us now. Looky there, looky there. Wow. 1, 2, 3. They got 4 bones. We are in trouble. Let me show you the video from the Smithsonian Institute. And here is the wolf evolving into the whale. Now, I've got some simple questions for you here. But what in the world just happened there? This is their video proving that the wolf evolved. What in the world just happened there? Guys, I like illusions. I really do. I love illusions. I was in Las Vegas speaking. Thank you very much. And I told y'all. I got called up on stage. David Copperfield made me disappear from the stage and appear at the back of the room. David Copperfield would love to be able to do an illusion like that. You want to see the reality? Here's reality. Why did they show that? Boom, change, boom, change, boom, change. You know why? Because here's the actual evidence. You see the skulls? That's what they actually found. You see the dashed lines? That's where the boom, change took place. Oh, by the way, they've added something new there. You see the little tiny thing right there? You know what those are? Those are called question marks. Huh. There's 11 of them. You don't need to count them. Guess where they always take place? Where evolution is supposed to have happened. Why? Because this is fiction. This is fairy tale. This is story. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do my own magic trick tonight. Nothing up my sleeves. Ready? Here's my own magic trick. Focus on the skulls. That's the actual evidence. We got the exact same evidence as the world. Focus on the skulls. Focus, focus, focus. You ready? Focus. Here we go. I didn't change those skulls, did I? I did not change those skulls. All I did was take away the story. Now, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to deal with the facts. I'm going to take you back to the only one who's always been there, who knows everything, who told us what happened, and let's see if what he told us he did fits with what we see in the world around us, and then you tell me who's chasing after fairy tales and fables. You ready? Here we go. God said, that needs to become the rallying cry of every Christian. God said that he created whales. If God created whales, what should I find in the fossil record? Whales. What do I find in the fossil record? That's deep. Pun intended. So God said he created whales. We find whales. What I see in the world is consistent with what I read in the Word of God. Oh, but Carl, you show some speciation happening there. You start with one type down here and it can get into three. That's evolution. No, it's not. That's whales. That's not evolution. You got to understand this. You got to teach your children this big time because that's what they're going to get told. Looky here, looky here. Go to the big state fair. You go in there and you got every kind of chicken under the sun. You got every kind of groundhog under the sun. You got every kind of cow under the sun. But they're still chickens, groundhogs, and cows. You can have big ones, you can have little ones. You can have heavy ones, you can have long hair, short hair, but they're still... One thing didn't change into one, another thing. You see, this is the problem. You can take existing information and mix it up and get kind of different looking whales, but you're not going to get a scale evolving into a feather. Because a scale and a feather are two totally different things. This speciation only takes existing information and redistributes it. If you want a scale to turn into a feather, you have to add new information to the genome. That you see nowhere. That you see nowhere. They use the same word, but they're two totally different processes. That's why we need to understand it better than the world. You see, not only did God tell us what He created, He told us why and when. And when God said that He created the whales on day 5, He did it on day 5. And who do I think I am to tell Him, God, I know what you said, but you didn't mean that because science has proven. Be very careful. If I can't accept when, why should I ever trust why? If I can't trust why, how could I trust any of the rest? You see, I'm a big guy. You can tell that. I like buffets. Buffets are a primary source of bigness. Thank you very much. You go to buffets, you get all the food groups, chicken, beef, pork, shrimp. And chocolate for dessert. This is a Baptist church, am I right? Where's my amens, brother? Come on. I need some amens right about now. But here's a problem. You go to a buffet, as much as I do, poor physical diet leads to poor physical health. Well, guess what, guys? Poor spiritual diet leads to poor spiritual health. And a part of the reason why we are where we are today is because we have approached the Word of God for too long like it's a book that I can tell God what He meant. No, the Word of God is the full meal deal. It's from the only one who's always been there, who knows what happened, and He told me, and what I see in the world is consistent with that. It doesn't contradict what I see in the world. You see, when I read this quote, that fossils provide the only historical documentary evidence that life has evolved, really? Huh. That was 1960. We've learned a lot since 1960. And does what we have learned since 1960 show this progression? Because if evolution were true, that's what we should find in the fossil record. If it is our best friend, what I should find in the fossil record is that one thing stayed, one thing never changed from or into anything else. I know you don't want to hear that anymore, but that's what we should find. What does the fossil record actually show? Don't trust me. Don't trust me. Let a non-Christian talk to you. The gradual change of fossil species has never been part of the evidence for evolution. What? Never? And here's a good one. Here's a real good quote. This is from 1999. Instead of finding the slow, smooth, and progressive changes Lyell and Darwin had expected, they saw in the fossil record, rapid burst of change, new species appearing seemingly out of nowhere, then remaining unchanged for millions of years. Now watch this quote. This is good. Patterns hauntingly reminiscent of... I'm in. What's the actual evidence show? Creation. That's from a non-Christian. That's what the actual evidence shows. Why? Because think about this half-long, half-tail, half-wing. These things can't survive. I've got a real problem with this bat evolving from a rat. Really, honestly, think about this for a second. You get a rat that gets the evolutionary mutation for the big pinky finger, because if you want to get a bat, it's got to evolve the long pinky finger so that it can grow the membrane so that it can fly. Really? What's the rat going to do that's got the 6-inch-long pinky finger? He can't run around anymore. He can't feed himself. And friends, strong will survive. That's not what evolution is about. Evolution is about those that have the most offspring pass their genetic information on to the next generation. That's what it's all about. Well, you can't survive by yourself because you got the big pinky finger. So what? All the other rats are going to be like, ooh, look at the rat with the big pinky finger. Bring him food for millions of years till he grows the membrane? It's not going to work like that. He's dead. He can't function. He can't survive by himself. He's dead. You're never going to get that. And you think a bat's bad? How about a pterodactyl? 22-foot long pinky finger? You see, guys, half long, half tail, half wing, none of that stuff is real because it can't be real. You give me a computer, and I can do just about anything with a computer. But that doesn't mean that it ever existed. And that's a part of the problem. We let the world come at us with all this really cool artwork. They're illusions. But where's the beef? I don't want the artwork. Show me the evidence. And what I'm saying to you, don't trust me. You go look for yourself. Because when you go dig for yourself, you will speak with authority because you're not taking what you heard from somebody and repeating it. You go dig for yourself. I have yet to find evidence for evolution anywhere and anything other than artwork. You go dig for yourself. Now, why should we care about this stuff? Because you know why? This is a major tool that is being used in our culture today to get us to doubt the authority of the Word of God. Creation and evolution is not the issue. Christian, the issue is, can I trust this book from the very first verse to the very end? And the minute I get to the point where I start tap dancing on any part of it, because I think science has got a little bit better knowledge, ooh, we're in trouble. And fossils have been used to get us to doubt the Word of God. Because way too many of us don't know how to give an answer to them. And you don't need to be afraid of them. It really does become fun. And this isn't mean-spirited. If there are any non-believers in here, I'm not attacking you. But guys, that's a pretty big stretch for us to be accused of believing in fairy tales and fables, and then I look at this actual evidence. We need to give information so people can make informed decisions. John 3:12 says this, that if I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And it doesn't get any more earthly than a fossil. And if I can trust God's word where it talks about fossils, you better believe I can believe it when it talks about heavenly things. And there really is a place called heaven, and there really is a place called hell. And if I can trust the history that he gave me, and it explains the fossils. I mean, judgment, global flood screams that God, the fossil record screamed that God did what he said that he did. Come down the Grand Canyon with me sometime. I'm telling you right now, second best classroom on the planet. You get down at the bottom of the Grand Canyon, you open the Word of God, you look at the world around you, the rocks cry out. They scream that God did what he said that he did. Now, can I use millions of years, death and suffering to explain fossils? Yeah, I can, because that's all I knew. That's all I was ever raised with. But then at 27, somebody loved me enough that they shot me straight and said, Carl, I'm sorry, but that's wrong. Let me start with the Word of God and explain to you what the Word of God says and then what I see in the world. And then you can go make an informed decision. And that's what lit my fire, because I went out and I started studying for myself. I was like, whoa, I never heard any of this. Can I use the Word of God to explain fossils? Yes, I can. And I don't need question marks and dashed lines. I think you saw that. You see, it's perspective. So, next time you see some wonderful evidence proving evolution, you immediately think of, you ask a question, because you know what? God has warned us. God has warned us in Timothy. It says this, and they shall turn away their ears from the, what's that word? And shall be turned unto, what's that word? God has warned us in his word that there's going to come a time when the church, these are pew sitters, man. This isn't the world. These are pew sitters. They, in context, are the people within the confines of the four walls of the church. They will turn away their ears from the truth and chase after fables, heaping upon themselves people itching their ears. Welcome to America 2011. We're living in it. And a part of the reason why we're willing and able to fall for the fable is because we don't know the truth. And we don't know how to apply the truth. So, please. Learn how to do it. Forgive me. Pastor Steve's going to talk about this stuff. And I forgot to pull it out again. And there are materials. But what I want to make you aware of is this right here. My website, r4h.com. Please get in touch with me on that. If I can ever help you, I do my best. I told you I'm on Facebook. A number of you have already plugged in on me. Thank you very much. I do my best to help out. If you're not on my mailing list, there it is. Sign up there. And I would covet your prayers. I really would. We're 9 months old, and it's been a fun ride. It's been an interesting ride, but I'd appreciate your prayers. Pastor Stephen, thank you for letting me be here.